Chuck Chat Technorama for September 22nd, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hygroscopic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the famous lunar wane shaft. Lotus O-deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal depleneration. Retroincabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic, and I understand we have a studio guest.
We have an in-studio guest. Our second only in-studio guest is my daytime boss and neighbor and longtime friend, Bob Pankratz. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
He's going to be sitting over there in a corner for a while we go about the rest of the show. We're going to call him in at his special time.
Cowering hey, in the Chuck. Corner.
Yes?
Who's your nighttime boss?
I am my... Well, hey. I wear the pants in the family.
I was going to say she's in the other room.
Where did the pants go then?
Hey, hello. hey. This is a G-rated show.
Podcast.
And let's keep it that way.
Coming up in tonight's show, Craig asks, what's going on outside my router? You mean inside or outside?
Now, there's some weird noises out there. I wonder what's going on.
Oh, Bob's banging around on the microphone. We also talk about, like I said, my friend, neighbor, and daytime boss, Bob, and his simple hard drive upgrade, and what went wrong. And we have a whole lot more kids safe, family safe, work safe, and geek speak, and much, much more. But first, some words from our sponsors. Be sure to sign up for our upcoming roundtable on September 24. Just visit www.techpodcast.com. We'll be using GoToMeeting while we discuss podcast media hosting with several special guests, including Peter York from DownloadRadio.org. Peter will share his knowledge of advanced BitTorrent, and we will show you how to make weblogs podcast ready. Also, be sure to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. To get your free 30-day trial, visit www.gotomeeting.com/techroundtable.
Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp bring you Chuck Chat Technorama, the place where common sense stops and geekiness begins.
On this day in tech history for September 22nd, 2005... It's the 265th day of the year. There are 100 days remaining. In the Northern Hemisphere, autumn begins at 6:23 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States. Then there are 8 days left until the movie Serenity is released in the United States. It was on this date in 1789 the position of United States Postmaster General is established. And in 1792... Primidi Vendemiri of the year one of the French Republican calendar. Richard Wagner's opera Das Rheingold debuts in Munich on this date in 1869. And the first American-built automobile by the Duryea brothers is displayed on this day in 1893. It was also on this day in 1949 the Soviet Union detonates its first nuclear weapon. And in 1951, the first live sporting event seen coast to coast in the United States, a college football game between Duke and the University of Pittsburgh is televised on NBC. In Great Britain on this date in 1955, the first independent television channel, ITV, goes live for the first time. And the South Atlantic Flash is observed near Bouvet Island, thought to be a nuclear weapon test on this date in 1979. Also on this date in 1991, the Dead Sea Scrolls are made available to the public for the very first time by the Huntington Library. And finally in 2003, David Hempelman Adams becomes the first person to cross the Atlantic Ocean in an open-air, wicker basket, hot air balloon. Happy birthday on this day goes out to Michael Faraday, who was born in 1791. And in 1922, Chen Yingyang, Chinese-born physicist and Nobel Prize laureate. And finally, the special day, it's Hobbit Day. The birthday of both Bilbo and Frodo Baggins is observed by fans of J.R.R. Tolkien. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 22nd.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
We have a follow-up from our asterisk discussion the other night, Craig.
That's
right. Why don't
right.
you take us into that?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about SIP phones and asterisk, and I was talking about how you can set up an asterisk server at your home and do all kinds of cool stuff with your phone line. Well, over at Tom's Networking, .com, they have a whole how-to on how to set one up. So I thought I would throw that link out there for everybody. There's like 6 pages. You flip through it, and they pretty much walk you through setting everything up, tell you exactly what to get as far as the PCI modem for your computer.
I was looking at that also. It looked very educational. We will put the link in the show notes if anybody's interested in setting one of those up.
Yeah, however, I will say it looks a little funny because at the top he talks about having trouble with his answer machine and how to replace your answer machine with an asterisk server. And I was like, you know, an asterisk server is so much more than just an answer machine. So if you can kind of look past that when you read an article,
start them out simple.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a little bit of a feedback news item. Our good friend Jorga over in Belgium has gotten digged. He wrote an article about an Apache mobile web server where you can put the web server on your USB drive, and he published it out there. Somebody found it, and he got digged. I don't know if he made it on the main page yet or not. He was up to about 8 digs when I last looked, but congratulations to him. Good luck.
He wrote the article.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's also written a few utilities, some XML, HTTP stuff. I think he ran a JavaScript thing past you, didn't he?
Yeah, he was sending me some Ajax stuff. It looked pretty good.
And as most people have already heard, Opera is now free.
How about that? Fly, be free!
Didn't they just release it for free by accident or under pressure
of
something?
No, it wasn't an accident. What they did was it was their 10th anniversary, and they gave it away for free that whole day.
Uh-huh.
And I signed up for it and got the code to install it. However, now it's like totally free, so you know, whatever that means. I think they said that by overwhelming response, people wanting the browser, that they decided to open it up. I think they get most of their monies from licensing fees, including the Opera browser on phones. So, as you know, as opposed to people buying Opera outright. So I think them giving away free wasn't going to really hurt them.
Now tell me about the Skype CEO press conference. I didn't have a chance to read all the way into this. I want to hear your take on it.
Well, basically, you know, whenever we're using Skype, sometimes you hear that, little psh or, you know,
right.
block out, fizz yep. outs. Well, apparently the CEO, Nicholas Zennstrom of Skype, I guess he was going to talk about eBay and some of the announcements that they were going to, I guess, come out with. And they couldn't do it because he was going to announce it using Skype. And he was having some technical difficulties getting that.
Hey, sounds like Microsoft.
Yeah.
This is the greatest product. What's that blue screen with all the writing on it?
Yeah. So I can see somebody's head's going to roll.
Bob's got this big one. Grin on his face. If you can't eat your own dog food, right?
I know. No kidding.
You should always test. Even when Steve Jobs does a demo, he always has some backup plan. I mean, must rehearse those things a dozen times over, but you're still going to get some kind of, you have to expect the unexpected, but you have to have a fail-safe plan. I think Steve was doing a keynote one time and he ran into problems, uh-huh. but he just, quietly switched over to another computer and away he went.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Bill Gates was on there with Conan O'Brien? I think they were in Vegas or something like that,
uh-huh.
and at CES or something. They were going to demo some new software, the Media Center, that's what it was. And he said, now let's look at the pictures, and it wouldn't move forward at all.
There's probably a lot of stories like that. Well,
oh, yeah.
Now Skype eats it too. What is a sentry gun?
Oh, the sentry gun? You know what a sentry is, like a guard.
Yeah.
Kind of tracks you and doing whatever. Well, this guy took a BB gun and equipped it with a webcam, wrote the software, and it will track you. And I'm not sure what the conditions are for it to actually fire upon you, but it will fire, shoot. And this actually looks pretty accurate. They got a video on there talking about how he shows how he made it in the article, and he has a video of it actually working, and then a video of what the computer's tracking. It's pretty cool.
Craig, where did you find this picture of the computer at the University of Zurich?
Oh, the big-ass computer?
The big-ass computer.
It's a big
you
computer.
You gotta see this, Bob. This thing is huge. It looks like four racks worth of stuff. I mean, you can see power supplies and network cables. Even the wire harness isn't that bad, but it's not the most elegant thing.
They've done a good job putting it together, I'll say that, but
wow.
It looks like something, the Borg or something.
It's made up of 288 AMD Athlon MP 2200 Plus. That's 1.88 gigahertz. It's just a block of computer mass.
It's more organized than the computer room at work.
Well, yeah, it's more. that's a hard fact.
Hey, I got one of those sitting at my desk. What are you?
This room is more organized than the computer room at work. I'll bet that thing throws off some serious heat.
Oh my gosh, man! I bet it does.
We beg the listener to go to the link, look for big ass computer in the show notes, and take it from there. Wow. All right, we've got to take one more commercial break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com domain or other domain name. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 is your source code. So head over to GoDaddy.com today.
Chuck Chat Technorama. There's nothing worse than a geek with a sense of humor.
We got some feedback from Bruce Barr. It was very long, about 2 minutes, had about 8 topics in it. And I found out why this man leaves messages in lots of about 2 or 3 on our voice line. It just kind of struck me as odd. The reason is because he does a lot of driving. He drives from Kansas City to Denver, Kansas City to Indianapolis. He's driving all around, so like I would do, load up a dozen or so podcasts and listen to them while you're driving. Road time is a great time to listen. So he'd be listening along, and then he hears something and just dials up the listener line and does a brain dump.
Hey, you know what? He sounds like he's doing a play-by-play, actually.
No, that's Kevin Devin. He does that.
Oh, does he?
Well, he, one of the ending items in his latest voicemail noted that we made a grave mistake, and much to his suspicion, there were not 700 people who have caught us on this. He was the only one. Last week, we said happy birthday to Walter Koenig and said he played Mr. Sulu. That was George Takei. Walter was Chekhov. So, my apologies and shame on the rest of you for not catching it.
Oh, man. Maybe I should pay attention to your segments more often.
Yeah, listen, will you? You're my first listener.
Yeah, I know.
You always listen right after we hang up.
That's right.
iTunes 501 has been released.
Yep. Have you got it installed yet?
I installed it on the PowerBook. However, the MP3 encoding at 64K still has a flanging, flaring, tinny noise to it. 128K is fine. 64 still stinks.
Well, you know, I imported something from GarageBand the other day when you first mentioned it, and I was able to encode something, but I didn't do 64K. I did, like, was it 128 or something? Like
Yeah, 128 is fine.
Yeah, and I was like, so it worked fine for me as far as that goes. So
right,
I don't
but
know.
At 64K, it's pretty rough. And yeah. I may do some experimenting with LameBrain to just practice encoding it with a different encoder, see what happens.
Hey, just use the command line.
The command lame?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that would have worked too.
Yeah, I mean, it's installed. Actually, the iTunes uses lame to do the encoding.
All right, what's going outside your router? What's going on outside your router?
Well, that's just it. I want to know. I've been kind of, I mean, my internet light sits there and flickers on this thing all the time. Of course, somebody's trying to do something coming in on my router, whether it's me going out, something coming back in. I don't know. So I want to know what's making that light flicker. So the other day, I brought a little cheap a hub home from work and plugged it up in line between my cable modem and my router. And I was going to put my Linux box in on that hub and do some sniffing. Well, that didn't quite work. I don't know whether... Yeah. What's that smell? anyway, I don't know if it's my cable service or something, but I could never get the router to come back up in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I started playing where I was logging from my Linux box. Or, I'm sorry.
Windows.
Logging from my Linksys router to something.
Okay.
So I turned on the logging, pointed it to an IP number, which is in this configuration, and I found out that it actually doesn't use, like, syslog. I turned on syslog on my Linux box to retrieve that kind of logging from another, you know, machine to retrieve those kind of log traffic.
Yeah, that would have been my first thought, too.
Yeah, and it never quite worked. Turns out this router uses some kind of SNMP traffic to move the logs around. So on my Windows box, I installed a program called Wall Watcher, which has been retrieving all this data. And I have to say, it's pretty impressive, all the data I'm getting. I'm trying to analyze it and see what's actually going on. But I think it's more or less telling me what traffic's going in and out of my router, not in what's being denied or what's being blocked. So I don't really know what's going on in my router. So I'm going to keep working on this until I figured it out.
Sounds like a potential step-by-step article.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
What kind of router are you running, Chuck?
I'm running one of the earlier Linksys 4-port, no wireless, you know, about 5 years old, cost $200.
Yeah. You probably got the same thing I did.
The BEFSR 41?
Hackers make note.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, right.
And your latest IP address is... firmware. Latest firmware is installed.
So, latest is not defined as 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it was
Linksys
latest.
Has made an update.
Cisco now.
That's why I have hosting on other places now.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe next week I'll have a little update on that, but I just want to know what's going on out there.
All right.
Should we point out to him that he should have used a crossover cable if he wants to sniff his hub?
Did you pick that up? Did you use a crossover cable?
You said you weren't able to use it on the hub. The port coming out of your Linksys is going to require a crossover cable if you want to do that.
No, actually, I put it on the cable from the cable modem went into my the uplink port. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I turned it on, so in effect turned it into a crossover cable. And then I plugged in my router into the...
But your router still needs a crossover connection. If you're going to sniff it. That's likely why you're having problems with it.
Okay.
We've done some similar stuff.
I do have an adapter, so that'll change... That'll reverse. So I'll try that next time then.
Give it a try.
Thanks,
give us an
Bob,
update.
For showing me up on my show.
I'm not trying to show you up. I just want to see what the packets are. This sounds interesting, but it also sounds like a huge time sink that I don't want to do.
No, I can actually hook it all back up. I'm not doing it right now during the show, but I'll do that. I do have an adapter that I can put two cables together and make it. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I'll report back next week, sir.
ChatChat.com.
Ramblings of a technophile.
All right. I apologize to those of you who listen to both shows, Freestyle and Technorama. I'm going to reuse a clip because it really belongs in two places. The humor factor, the familiar factor belonged in Freestyle, but the technical side of it belongs here, and it really ties together with why Bob is here. This is a clip that my father-in-law read to me. He wrote in the paper, the local paper in Marquette, about the trials and tribulations he was having with hooking up HDTV and his cable, and just it turned into a wiring mess nightmare. But he really expresses it better in his own words.
This is great.
Some assembly required. Yeah, right. Insert tab A into slot B. You remember the days when these were the instructions that came with purchases in which some assembly was required? Boy, are those days ever gone and forgotten. To be strictly fair, maybe the troubles I'm having with modern-day assembly are partly me. I find myself going into the basement, for example, and once down there, I wonder what it was I went down there to get. With my hearing fading a bit from listening to too many jet engines, they tell me, I bought one of those stereophonic home theater surround sound things to hook up to the high-definition television set complete with VCR and DVD. I anticipated entering the total entertainment setting of our modern world. Yeah, tell me about it. I removed the back of the TV, DVD, etc. cabinet, filled with confidence and high expectation. I soon found myself in an electronic nightmare from hell. To connect the digital, video 1, video 2, video 3, coaxial, optical input jack, change the assignment of an S-video terminal. Where are tab A and tab B? There's a bold print highlighted notice. Do not connect the power cord at this time. Slow as I am, I could understand the reasoning behind that warning. I dug into the instructions again. Some of the instructions were obviously written by someone not all that familiar with English in its American-speak form. It may take a bit of imagination to understand what was written, and even then I personally was not sure. I had invested $32 and some odd cents in a couple of S-cable videos that are supposed to greatly improve picture quality. I plugged them in here and there and somewhere else and looked appropriate. There was no picture at all. I finally stumbled across a note that said, in effect, you can't get there from here. My equipment, even though it had the terminals, was not compatible with that type hookup. Sheesh. Well, in the military, I once heard a story about Napoleon's captain. Never mind if it's true or not, it's a good story and makes a point we too often overlook. It was said that Napoleon gave an intelligence test to everyone in his army. When he had identified the least intelligent individual, he promoted him to the rank of captain. Never mind all you wiseacres out there who are saying they're still doing that. Napoleon made this new captain his personal aide and took him everywhere he went. When Napoleon issued an order to units of his army, he first gave it to his captain and asked him what the order said. When that captain could understand it correctly, Napoleon would send it out to the rest of the army. If any of you electronic producers out there should read this, I may be the man qualified to be your personal aide. At least I haven't blown out any fuses or caught anything on fire. I finally did muster the courage to connect the power cord. I know the question that must be on all your minds. Is the thing working? I gotta tell you, I don't know. We can switch channels. The sounds we get are often not associated at all with the picture we're seeing, but sometimes they seem to be stereophonic. Of course, there are an armload of remote controllers for all these different devices, and the sound picture combinations often depend on which controller I'm attempting to use at the moment. In frustration, I take a break now and then and go outside and split a little firewood. Inserting blade A into block B is a little easier to understand. I get a feeling of accomplishment, a feeling that I've been able to do something useful when that firewood splits. Meanwhile, Dorothy is in the house watching a Red Wings hockey game on the television while hearing the news hour with Jim Lehrer coming through the audio. But it's all delivered in the latest 5-speaker high-fidelity stereophonic surround sound, I think.
Don't touch that click wheel.
You're listening to Chuck Chat.
Back to the manual part of this show.
The manual part?
Manual part where we actually have to talk.
Insert flap B into slot B, C.
I'm surprised he didn't take that axe instead of chopping wood, chop up the TV.
I went outside, grabbed an axe, and whack, whack. Fixed it good.
Well, we're going to hear a little different perspective on a similar story, sort of. Bob is here to tell us about his supposed TiVo hard drive upgrade that went horribly wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So tell the story the way you told it to me.
Okay. Well, first we have to, for the listeners who were around for Greg Holly's article on Myth TV, you must understand something, that I've had a TiVo Model 1, Model 2 for a very long time, and I was well ahead of Greg in his recording of television, but we tend to have lengthy conversations at work about the cool things he's doing on his Myth TV, in which I tell him he spends way too much time on it because my TiVo is so easy. Well, Friday comes around and Greg decides to tell me all the great things he just recently did with his upgrade and how he's ready for basement biking season and all the cool TV he's going to watch on Myth on his bike.
Wait a minute, basement biking season?
Well, Greg and I go pedal biking on the skinny tires together. And
okay.
So we're plotting how to stay healthy over the winter.
You get a trainer or something. You know, one of those, you crank your bike into it and you run on a roller.
Yes, and you take telemetry of just about every possible thing, graph it in Excel 15 different ways, analyze it, and have a TV tray with a television and Myth TV pre-recorded next to you.
When geeks try to exercise, all right? Visualize that.
You have to understand these things.
I still can't lose this last 5 pounds.
Well, that's the refrigerator next to you.
Yeah, right.
With the sports drinks in it.
Okay, so he's telling you about Myth TV.
So I go home, God darn him, I'm going to spend 3 hours this weekend, and I'm going to upgrade my TiVo and put all sorts of extra recording capacity in it and show him how easy this is, and you don't need to do all this hard stuff. So in true getting things done fashion, my list said open TiVo and verify that there was a place for a second hard drive. So I cracked the case and, drat, there's already a second hard drive in my TiVo. I have the 1% of the models that were on hand when they decided to up the capacity and simply took the back stock and stuck an extra drive in. Okay, look at the wife, get the disapproving look. I'm going to Best Buy. And now I have to
no longer am I buying one hard drive, I'm going to have to buy two. Because according to my TiVo hack book, I have to change both hard drives.
Oh, man.
On my way to Best Buy, I realized that I don't have a PC in my home any longer. Not one that I can boot the Linux CD-ROM to do this operation on. So as I drive there, I realize not only will I have to buy two CD-ROMs, I will need to go to the office and borrow one of the spare PCs. So I check the price out on the hard drives, do some quick math in the store, and conclude, for my time, the hard drive, and effort, this is going to be a $500 upgrade. Uh-oh. Wife's not going to talk to me. So, at that price and the amount of time, maybe I should just see if I can purchase a bigger TiVo and be done. So I stroll over to the TV section, and sure enough, there's a TiVo there, and it's got a 250 gig hard drive in it.
Wow.
400 hours of programming. No more, honey, I got to delete Oprah so I can tape Battlestar Galactica. So I pull it out and I look at it and say, yeah, that's really cool. And it's less than I was going to spend. Unfortunately, I noticed the logo on the front of it said HDTV. The geek calls from within and says, go look at the HDTVs. So I wander over.
TV.
And I've been avoiding HDTV for a really long time just because, I don't know. Chuck, you've seen the big LCDs.
They're expensive.
They're real expensive and they don't look very good.
Yeah.
So I look over and lo and behold, they have tube-based TVs that are HD. I drift a little closer. Ooh, they're sub $1,000. They're less than $800. I've been kind of waiting for them to be under the $1,000 point. So I engage somebody from the Geek Squad. Very scary. A bunch of guys walking around a store with a shirt that says Geek Squad. Somewhere up there.
We're here to help you.
Well, it's up there with someone wearing a Technorama t-shirt while he broadcasts.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I think I saw Lenny in the Geek Squad.
I'm sure.
So I'm now in Best Buy for a half an hour, which, and when I finally left, it was 4 hours later.
Wow.
We went through the entire education of HDTV, and I learned a couple really interesting facts. Number one is, did you guys know you can get HDTV off an old-fashioned aerial? Like the big ugly thing on your roof?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Like the one I still have on my roof that I'm too lazy to take down?
Well, who's broadcasting HDTV across?
Everybody.
Really?
Channel 2, Channel 5. For those of you out of the country, those are our main networks.
Yeah.
We have six of them. And we have two PBS stations broadcasting Discovery-like stuff on them. So, not only will I be able to tape HDTV off the air, I can get it off of an HDTV tuner, I'm sold. And then I found out that you have to learn all over again all these video outs. So, those of us who have done this before know that you can send signal over coax.
Yeah.
You can send it over composite, RCA jacks.
Yeah.
You can send it over S-video and really geek out like Mr. Reynolds and his entire S-video rig. Well, when you move up to HDTV, you now have to do component video, which is basically a fancy way of saying red, green, blue. And then they added a newer cable, which they call
HDMI,
which looks like a fancy USB cable that does video, sound, everything.
It's more of a bus interface.
It's
like
a big old bus interface. And, oh, by the way, there are three resolutions and two different scan rates that go with the TV. So after you sit there and your head swims around in this a little bit, then you go, well, what about my DVD player? And they go, oh, well, we don't make DVD players that do HD yet. Oh, so what do I do there? Well, you can get a progressive scan one, or you can get an up-converting one. Well, what does that mean? Prettiness of the picture by a couple degrees. But they use different cables. So not only do you have to go and purchase a television, but you have to figure out which cables you need in order to interface this. And oh, by the way, all your existing audiophile equipment, if you're like me and have the whole rig, it's useless. Your amplifier you bought 2 years ago, nope. Unless you want to hook one of these cheesy composite grades that before I walked in Best Buy I thought was the best thing going, only to find out that it's like dinosaurs. So
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Well, 3 weeks later,
Yeah, 3 weeks later. No, actually, this is Monday night after a whole weekend of this. No, so I eventually went home with the television I had to select and the tuner and the sound system. And it wasn't too bad when I added it up in my head until I found out that I had to buy five cables at $150 a piece.
Well, then you had the second half of the story, which was... What was it, the satellite splitter?
Oh, well, the fun part is we get this all home, and now I got to figure out how to put it all together. Well, I have the old TiVo. We can't possibly retire that. We must move that to the front room.
Must be used somewhere.
And you can't just take a satellite and split it like you do in the old days. You have to use this thing called a multi-switch. Well, I have a multi-switch because I thought at one time it was a fancy splitter and it might help me. Oh, great. I don't have to buy one of those. I'll just take this all home and wire it all up. So we get it all up. Plugged in, hooked up my HDMI cable to the TV to run sound from the stereo, hooked the optical cable, sounds just like your father-in-law, from the thing down to the sound connector, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. There's two wires. You got one going up and one coming down for sound. It's like, that's too simple. Two coax coming in, go to the other room, plug in the antique satellite, plug the thing into it, turn it on, it works. Walk in the other room, turn it on, check it, it works. Great. Honey, we're done. We have TV. It's only like 6 hours later. I didn't take her to the movie I was supposed to. I'm kind of, you know, we rented a DVD so she'd have something to watch while I was tearing the televisions in the house apart. Of course, the movie sucked. So I'm really in the doghouse at this point, and it's like, okay, honey, it's going to work just like it used to. So then we tried to turn both satellites on at the same time. Turns out that if satellite A is talking to receiver, satellite B cannot. So we're in the two rooms changing channels, and the satellite keeps dropping out. She turns on channel 5, my channel 7 goes away. I turn on channel 11, her channel 5 goes away. So after about a half an hour of this, we finally figured out that something was not right. And a couple hours later, a little Googling. Oh, not only do I have to wire the satellite to all this stuff, I got to bring five wires down from the roof to the multi-switch, and connected to the satellite receivers. So this evening I spent up on my roof in 25-mile-an-hour winds running more coax. Mind you, the whole point of having the satellite is to have one piece of coax and make life simple. I now have five coming from my roof down into my crawl space. We don't have a basement in this part of the house. So I'm crawling around in the mud, running coax, snipping ends, thinking to myself about how much time I saved over Greg Holly's Myth TV experience.
And money.
You know that commercial where the guy's up on the roof beating the dish with the hockey stick? I know where they got that from.
Yeah. So you know, actually, I was waiting for you to end the story by saying, so I left Best Buy with two hard drives.
You know, at this point, I'm kind of wishing I did. But I did learn a couple of things, that you do want to buy HDMI cables. Mm-hmm. You can get an HDTV that's quite inexpensive. The tube-based ones, from everything I could see in the store, are phenomenally better quality than the LCDs. And they do go for under $800.
What size were they?
These were 31-inch, 32-inch televisions. So they're pretty good size. Sitting in our family room, it quite overwhelms the room. But you want an HDMI connector. You want as many of those connectors as you can, because once they do release a HD DVD player, that's the type of connector you're going to want to use.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be looking for, as well as the HDMI stuff.
So you want two HDMI connectors. If you're like me, I went on the cheap and said the TV's got one, and it's got component connectors to bring the DVD up. DVD, we don't watch them that much with the satellite anyway, so that quality's pretty good.
So is it all working?
It all works as of this evening with the multi-switch that I had ordered from the internet.
Is your wife watching Red Wings hockey while listening to the Lear Report?
No, she's on the computer listening to some show called Chuck Chat.
Yeah.
Back episodes or something. But the television is paused, saving lost, so when I go home, I'll go and find out what it's in the hatch. But I still have yet to figure out how to pipe it down to my bike, which is what I was going to do with all the time I saved.
What time was that?
Hey, I smell a third mortgage now.
Shh. We don't talk about that. Not with the wife listening.
We'll be right back.
Geek Thoughts. NASA spent millions of dollars to develop the space pen, and the Russians just opted for pencils. Who really won the space race?
Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to ChuckChat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.chuckchat.com. Don't delay, sign up today.
Already in the microprocessor.
Faster than fiber chat.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
One quick little reminder about the, before we go, we've got a geek library item. This one's called, Come On Kids, Let's Play Programmer. If that doesn't sound exciting, I don't know what does. We're going to put a link in the show notes. It's a nice tutorial about how to introduce your kids using games to be good programmers. They set up logic problems and, you know, you write conditional statements. It's just good time. Good time. I learned a lot of programming stuff out of games like that. There was Robot Wars on the old Apple II, where you actually had to write efficient code because you were only allowed 255 instructions, period. So you had to see if you could make it as complex a if you made it too complex a robot, it would just kind of stall and die, and it wasn't
and
a good
thing. And so what age did you lose the skill to write efficient programs?
Oh, when Microsoft came along, of course. With 512 mega RAM, I don't have to, you know, have a small, lean little robot. Craig, you had one comment on that?
No, not on that particularly. I was wanting to bring up a story which I thought was pretty interesting. There was this set of parents. They had a set of twins, and they took them home, and one of them wasn't feeling good or whatever, and they took it to the emergency room. They told him that its hemoglobin had dropped significantly, and they were going to have to, you know, give it an emergency transfusion.
Oh dear.
Well, so when they started to, prepare for the procedure, the husband or the father used his cell phone, searched for hemoglobin premature infant, mm-hmm. and found that there was here's a paper that was recently published saying that it was common for especially in sets of twins or whatever, premature, that the hemoglobin would drop like that and then come back to normal levels over time. So he showed the doctors that and ended up saving the child from having to have that transfusion. They said, they studied the paper and said, yeah, you're probably right. I think it's going to be okay. So so Google saved the child from having a transfusion.
You'd have to be a pretty trusting parent to put your faith in Google results like that.
Well, it wasn't just Google results. It was a paper that a guy, a scientist had.
Okay,
had
so just published. It was from a reputable medical source.
Yeah, and the doctors went back and they went and looked and read the paper, studied over it, and realized that the doctor was probably right. So they said that they were in error. Sort of.
I'm glad everything turned out all right.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing that Google actually helped the guy, helped the baby out.
Want to take us out of here?
Sure.
Fire away.
All right, everybody, listen up. I want to hear some people calling. Call us on the Chuck Chat line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. And, of course, as always, you can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And check out our website at chuckchat.com for all the links and to our Cafe Prize site. Chuck's got this cool shirt from our Cafe Prize site, and he's showing it on the webcam. So you can get both links to all that there.
Doing the Technorama shirt tonight.
That's
and the
right.
Chuck Chat it hat looks- and the mic cubes and everything else that my wife harasses me about. Any words of wisdom tonight, Craig?
Yeah. On the internet, nobody knows you're a dog.
Give me a binary high five. Come on, Bob. Binary high five.
101.
Thanks. And good night.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?